Well, thank you for braving the onslaught of coronavirus and coming out to church today. I know there's several people that for whatever reason decided to stay home today, and I hope that you're watching on Facebook Live, and I just want to greet you as well. You're part of this congregation, part of the worship service here today. We're glad to have you. Thank you all as well for coming out today. Yesterday, in the last few days, in light of everything that's been going on, quickly it seems like, with the different announcements and the different decisions and the different things that are going on regarding this coronavirus, I felt compelled in my heart to change the message this morning from what I was going to be sharing about Fixer Upper. We'll do that in the next week or two or whenever. But today I felt like I needed to respond in a way that will help the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, to balance out what we're hearing on the news. As Richard said, you have Fox News and CNN and even our local stations everywhere in the paper, even out and about in the conversations and the different businesses, everywhere you hear it's about coronavirus. Can I just give you a little bit of perspective here? Not to diminish the importance of the coronavirus and the potential that it has to harm people, but I actually took a little, and I wrote this on my phone here so I wouldn't forget it, so forgive me while I look this up because I want to make sure I'm accurate with this. The CDC, which stands for what? Everybody knows that, don't you? See, all I have to do is say CDC and everybody's got that automatically in their tongues. Estimates that so far this season, meaning the season of 2019-2020 for the flu season, that there have been at least 32 million flu illnesses, 310,000 hospitalizations, and 18,000 deaths from the flu. This was as of February 22nd, so just a couple of weeks ago. I'll say that again. 32 million flu illnesses, 310,000 hospitalizations, and 18,000 deaths. Now, there's a lot of deaths from the flu. And the flu is something, that's why you always say, get your flu shot, and all of that. In comparison to what this is all about, the flu is actually more serious what's going on, but yet you don't hear the economy breaking down and everything shutting down as a result of that. I just want to say something to you this morning, and I think you get this because you're here, but the fear and the anxiety with the economy being rocked and the events being canceled and the stores being sold out, it's not the disease that's really impacting what's going on. It's the fear behind it. And there's something going on with this that's more than just this, what they call a pandemic, okay? So let's be careful that we don't overreact. And I want to talk to you this morning about some things that we can do to be balanced in this approach about what God's Word says. We've heard enough bad news. We've heard enough of the panic. In fact, this reminds me a lot of 9/11. If you were around at 9/11 when the planes crashed into the buildings, and the couple of Sundays after that, and the two, three weeks after that, there was a lot of panic, and people rushed to church. Of course, then there was no encouragement to not go to church and not be in social settings, so everybody flocked to the churches for a couple of weeks until they realized that everything was going to be okay, and they stopped going to church again and doing what they normally do on the weekends. But in this case, they're encouraged to not be in social gatherings. They're encouraged to not get face-to-face. But this reminds me a lot as far as the atmosphere of what's going on in our country. It reminds me a lot of 9/11. And I remember we were pastoring in Rome, Georgia, and there was it was just amazing the amount of people that showed up to church looking for an answer. And so here today, whether you're here or whether you're viewing this, I'm here to give you an answer. I'm here to give you some good news from God's Word. We've heard enough bad news. We've heard enough news that's putting us in fear and causing us to panic and be anxious. But today I want to talk to you about how we can walk in faith and not fear, how we can walk in hope and not anxiety, how we can walk in wisdom and not foolishness. And there's a balance between all this. I just want to also put some things into perspective. The world has experienced such things as the bubonic plague. Killed millions of people back in the 1300s. I'm talking about tens of millions. The world has experienced the Spanish flu back as just not even in 1918, just not little over 100 years ago. Again, killed tens of millions of people throughout the world. And even if you were around in the 1950s, I wasn't, but I actually talked with my father-in-law yesterday, and he says, yeah, I remember that. He came up in school at that time. If you're familiar with the Cold War and the introduction of the atomic bombs, back in 1951, 52, when Russia and the United States were in an atomic race to develop the bombs, some of you folks that were there back then are shaking your heads, just like, yeah, I remember that. In school, do you guys remember the duck and cover? Duck and cover? Like getting under a desk is going to save you from a nuclear bomb? But that's what they did. They actually had drills. They had times where you had to do that. They showed videos, movies of that in the classroom. So when you hear the sirens, get under your desk and you'll be okay. They built bomb shelters, right? Did you know that even back in the day, and I don't know if this happened for some of you people that were in school, but they actually produced dog tags for the kids with their identification on it in some areas of the country so that in case there was a nuclear annihilation that they can identify the child. It was crazy back then, and this was in some of our lifetimes, and just in the early 1950s. Fortunately, with the advent of the mutual and annihilation sort of thing that goes on, that says, listen, if you throw a bomb our way, we're throwing a bomb your way, and so we're both going to be mutually destroyed. So that's kind of appeased or kept that at bay. But in the early 1950s, there was all of that going on with the dog tags and the shelters and the duck and cover stuff. And our country was frozen and in panic and fear because of that. And I'm not diminishing that, because there's some reality to all of these things, okay? There's the reality of the coronavirus that's out there. And we can react in fear. We can react based on all that the news is saying and all that the media is going on, all the things that are going on, which is what's going on right now with these sports events that are canceled and the stores that are sold out of toilet paper. What's up with that? I mean, how's toilet paper going to help us through this? But there it is. It's gone. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I can understand, you know, milk, bread, toilet paper. Okay. So what is the church called to do at times like this? We're living in an unprecedented time right now. What is the church? We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ, amen? That's who I'm identifying today, is you and I, we are the church. What are we supposed to do in this day and age, in this time, in this unprecedented time? I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and I want to read this to you. Will you read it with me, if you will, in your Bibles? For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Keep that up there. Timidity, fear, it's the same thing. We're not to shrink back. We're not to be afraid. We're not to walk in fear in any area of our life. Faith is what got you to where you are today, because you had to have faith to receive Christ. To take that same faith that you can believe that someone named Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life, and his blood that was shed for you and the death that he died for you was sufficient to bring us back to right relationship with God the Father, takes faith. Because if I say that at its surface, it doesn't make sense. But you have to understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is a gift from God that he gives us to even believe that I just talked to you about what Jesus did for us. So that same faith that God gave us to believe in Christ being our Lord and Savior is the same faith that he can give us to believe that we can overcome this that is being poured out onto the world today. So if you're walking in fear, let me challenge you this morning. Walk in faith, not fear. Respond in faith. Don't react in fear. Reaction to me is like a kind of just a flying out there without thinking about it sort of activity. I'm just going to react without stopping and grabbing hold of those emotions and saying, wait a minute, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to respond. That means I've thought about it, I've prayed about it, I've considered my actions, and instead of reacting in fear, I'm going to stop and respond in faith. Now, God, what is it that you've said in your word about this? I'm going to do that. What is your promises today? I'm going to believe in that. I'm going to stand upon your word today. And we're going to get to some promises this morning in just a few minutes, but I want to lay a foundation here. But first, let's walk in faith and not fear. Let's walk in faith and not fear. Here's the second thing that God's word talks about in Proverbs 3:13. It's just one example of what he's called us to do. Read Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the man or woman who finds wisdom, the man or woman who gains understanding. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Now, there's worldly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. This is not talking about the worldly wisdom, because the wisdom, the Bible even says that the wisdom of man, the greatest, wisest person that has ever lived, is considered the ultimate foolishness to God. It's like where the wise man ends, God's wisdom begins, right? And so the foolishness of man is nothing to God. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God as well. We're talking about godly wisdom here, not earthly wisdom. So I want to encourage you this morning to find godly wisdom in this. What does that look like? Well, you're not going to go out and lick a doorknob today. That's what it looks like. Right? You're not going to put God to a foolish test, right? Hey, I'm just believing in God, so I'm going to go out and just, hey, would you cough on me? Hey, give me your biggest sneeze right here in front of me. No, that's ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of denominations, some out there in the mountains of America, that handle snakes and do all sorts of stuff. That's putting God to a foolish test. The Bible says, oh, we can handle snakes and we can drink poison and it won't harm us. That's not what it's talking about to do that. That's putting God to a foolish test. It's just simply saying that God's going to protect you just as he's going to protect you in a majorly Muslim country, right? He's going to protect you when you step out and do something for the Lord. Don't put God to a foolish test, though, by saying, hey, I can do whatever I want because I'm okay. So licking the doorknobs and having people sneeze in front of you is a foolish test. So use wisdom. There's a balance in this, right? Go ahead. Pack yourself up some hand sanitizer and carry it with you wherever you go. That's all right. We're doing that. I'm being extra precautious. In fact, America is going to be the cleanest that it's been in years as a result of this. I'm thankful. Man, wipe everything down. Hey, listen to me. If you're listening to me, wipe everything down. It's better for all of us. You should have been doing that a long time ago. Amen? We're going to be the healthiest nation in the world after this. I love it. But use wisdom, right? If you're fevered or you're sick in some way, don't get around the public. Stay home. Watch us on Facebook Live. Or don't go to work and don't spread whatever, flu or coronavirus or anything. I mean, that's just common sense. That's wisdom. That's courteous, right? All of those things. So wisdom, not foolishness. And there's so many examples in the Bible of godly wisdom. The Bible says, too, if you lack that wisdom, it's a pretty simple process here. Ask God for it. If you're not sure what to do, say, God, what should I do? And he'll tell you. That's what the Holy Spirit in us does as part of his job description, is that he speaks to us and instructs us. And it's not just, you know, go witness to that person, go witness to that person. It's like, don't lick that doorknob. He gives us wisdom. Right? So ask him if you lack it. I got to say this again. If you have an urge to lick that doorknob, ask God for wisdom and say, don't do it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's very practical, right? God is practical and his wisdom is practical too, as well as supernatural. Here's the next thing. So we have faith, not fear. We have wisdom, not foolishness. And finally, hope, not despair. Look with me at Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says this, but don't be anxious about anything. Oh, my goodness. Don't be anxious about coronavirus. Go ahead and just put that right in there. Don't be anxious about this. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, there's an anxiousness that's going on right now. There's an anxiety that's going on right now in our country and in the world. I am so tired. We just don't even watch the news anymore because every time you turn, I walk into the room and there's coronavirus. I'm so tired of hearing that. It's just an onslaught. And again, I don't want to get into this, but I think that there's something even bigger than this that's going on as far as what's going on in our country politically and all that. Don't even get me started on that, right? But staying with the subject here, just listen to God's word. Listen to those stories that you're talking about, but in English, of course, and with English, with American music underneath it. Listen to Christian music. Listen to God's word out loud. And listen to some podcasts that are going to encourage you. Tune out the stuff. We already know what to do, okay? Clean off everything. Stay out of social gatherings, blah, blah, blah. How many times do you need to hear that? Right? So, whatever. Now let's listen to what God's word says. Let's not be filled with despair and anxiety. Let's let the hope of God's word feed us. By the way, this is not the first time that this sort of thing happened. As I mentioned to you earlier about the bubonic plague and all that, it's certainly not going to be the last. If you're at all familiar with the Bible, you read the book of Revelation, and before, when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place and the church is evacuated from the world, what you're seeing right now with the toilet paper gone and all that other sort of stuff that's being disappearing from the shelves, and people are fighting each other and all that's going on, the depletion of supplies, you take this and it's like 1% probably of what's going to be happening in the world once the rapture takes place. There's going to be mass havoc, chaos all over the world because babies, sons, daughters, elderly, blacks, whites, of all different nations, of all different tribes and tongues, we're going to be caught up in a twinkling of an eye in the rapture, and we're going to see mass chaos take place on this earth. So if you look at this right now and realize, wait a minute, this is just a foretaste of what's going to happen. I'm not going to be here to experience it, and I hope you won't either. And we'll get that taken care of before the end of the service here today. But just know that what you're experiencing and what the world is experiencing is going to just be ramped up in an unbelievably massive way after the rapture of the church and during the tribulation, when all of the plagues and all of the bowls and all of the things that God's wrath is going to be poured out. You read about it. It's going to be awful. And it's not just going to be 1,000 deaths. The Bible talks about half the world's population, 80% of the world's population, it's going to be in a complete annihilation. Because right now, the sins of the world are being collected in bowls in heaven. It may not make sense to you, but spiritually speaking, just think about it. All the sins of the world, all the rejection of God, all of the curses, all of the foul, awful things that are going on in the world today are being collected in a bowl. And God's simply just going to pour that back on the earth to the people that are left behind. It's not God's wrath. It's really our addition to it, and God just simply just does what he does. I'm going to give you back what you have been, what I've been collecting. And it's called the wrath of God, but it's really not that he's mad at us. It's just that because he loves us. He loves all of us. He loves all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He doesn't want to see anybody harmed or go to hell. But all of that stuff that's going to be happening, this is just a foretaste of it right now. And so, man, I'm not enjoying this right now, what's going on, and I certainly am not going to be enjoying it later, so I don't intend to be around. How about you? I just want to talk to you about some words here today, and this is not a long message, but President Trump, as you mentioned, called for a day of prayer, a national day of prayer, and we're going to end this service today by praying together. And so I want us to be ready for that. And Emma, I'm going to have you come up at that during that time. But right now, I just want to share with you some scriptures about what God's word says about your life and about his plan for you. His plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says it this way. God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Keep that up there. God's plans are to give you a future of hope. His plans are not to harm you. This is not coming from God. This coronavirus is not coming from God. He's not here saying, "All right, I'm going to get y'all." Right? God's plans are to prosper us. God's plans for you today is to not harm you. God has a future for you, a great future for you. I want you to know that that's what God's word says about you. Zephaniah 3:17 says this. Know this. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Right now, God is doing that. Right now, he's with you. God will never leave you, the Bible says. He'll never forsake you. He's with you even to the ends of the earth. He's with you right now. I want you to say this with me. I say, God is with me. Yeah, he's with you. And he's mighty to save. Don't you believe that? Do you believe that he's bigger than this coronavirus? Has he been faithful to save you through other things in your life up to this point? Well, why would he stop now? Why is he sitting back saying, oh, they don't have a cure for this. I don't know what to do. He's not up in heaven trying to figure this thing out. He knew this was going to happen. He's in control. God is with us, and he's mighty to save. Of course, we have the wisdom. We use the wisdom, but we also walk in hope. He's taking delight in you. He is here to quiet you with his what? His love. Do you know that God loves you? He's not going to give you a stone or a snake to eat. He's going to give you a piece of bread and a piece of fish. He wants to take care of you. He loves you. Be quieted. Rest, in other words. Don't be anxious. Be quieted with the fact that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's got this. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me stop right there. See, we're so caught up, many of us, in what's going on in our own lives. What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. That we lose the sight of the fact that we have actually an opportunity here. This is an opportunity. And Richard, you touched on it. We have an opportunity in this place of havoc and chaos and anxiety and fear to come and step in and say, now, wait a minute. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let me tell you what he's doing in my life. Let me tell you the God that I serve and how he's seeing me through and how he loves me and how he's resting me in his peace and all of those sort of things. It's an opportunity for us to step in and share the hope, the good news of who we have in Jesus Christ. To counter the fear, when people say, well, how can you not be afraid, as Richard said? Because I'm serving a great, big, wonderful God who's in control of everything, and I'm under his wings. He's got his hand on my life. I'm protected by him, and on it goes as the Holy Spirit speaks through you and counters that. So that's the overflow, that you may overflow with that hope. That's what we need to do, is overflow. So if you know some people and they're going to be talking to you, I promise you that you're going to be in a conversation this week. It might even be with your spouse or your children or someone in your home, certainly with your coworkers, through social media and other sorts of ways, and people are in despair. Have you heard the latest? And oh no, fear, anxiety, and you can speak out of the overflow of your heart and say, wait a minute, what God's put in me, it's not just for me, it's for you as well. Let me share with you the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. What an opportunity that we have as the bride of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Be the gospel and share the gospel with those around you. Let it overflow. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Let me encourage you this morning. Wait on the Lord. You know what that means? Not like waiting for him to go, Lord, I'm waiting on you. When you're coming. That's not what I mean. That's not what it means there. Wait on the Lord simply means to spend time with him. Pray. Communicate with him. Worship him. Prioritize that time of refreshment and strength and help. Wait on the Lord. And as you do, he's going to what? He's going to renew your strength. He's going to help you to run and not grow weary. He's going to help you to walk and not faint. Because this is a marathon, not a sprint. And we're in this thing for the long haul. Maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe 2-3 months. I don't know how long this is going to last. But by the way, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And God is with us every step of the way. So wait on the Lord. Rest in his strength. Be that shining light and that example to others. But you've got to wait on the Lord. Rest in him and let him renew your strength. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 says this. Isn't this good news this morning? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You know what God's trying to do through this in your life? He's trying to clean you up. He's trying to get out fear out of my life, anxiety out of my life. I need the Lord to challenge me in this, right? Don't you need the Lord to challenge you in some areas of your life? Take this as a challenge. Say, all right, Lord, help me not react in fear. Help me not to react in anxiety. Help me to not do what the world is telling me to do. Help me not to follow the lead of the world. But help me instead, Lord, to reevaluate. Holy Spirit, show me what's going on here and why I'm freaking out right now. And stop me And help me, Lord God, to fix my eyes on you, the author and the finisher of my faith. And help me to rest in you, Lord God, because through that, your mercies are new every morning. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. Because you see, what's seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is going to help me to be more like you, Jesus. So this is an opportunity for you as well to be more like Jesus. What is it in you that is really bugging you right now as it relates to this coronavirus and how you're feeling and how you're acting? Let the Holy Spirit take that and say, okay, let me show you a better way. Let me show you a Christ-like way. Let me show you how you can be more like Christ and less like me, less like flesh, right? It's an opportunity for us to grow, to be more Christ-like. So look at that, and that's a good thing. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23 says this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." There's a song, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God, great is your faithfulness." I bet you didn't know that that was actually scripture put to music. Yeah. His mercies are new every morning. His steadfast love will be there. And this is not here to consume us. The only thing that I want consumed in my life is sin. The only thing that I want consumed in my life is flesh. The only thing that I want consumed in my life is anything to do with me. Because everything that has to do with me is filthy rags. But I want that through this opportunity to grow, to be robed in his royal righteousness, in his righteous robe of glory and perfection. I want Jesus. I want to be enrobed in Jesus. And I don't want this to consume me. Instead, I want the Lord to consume me through this. And understanding that in it, God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Say it again. God is faithful. Do you believe that God is faithful through this? If you are, let me hear you say amen. Finally, I want to read to you Psalm 91, the entire chapter. It's like it was written with this in mind. Psalm chapter 91, follow me if you will. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare," or the coronavirus, "and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." How many loves the Lord in this place? Then this is speaking about you. Verse 15. "He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him." This is the Lord speaking to you. "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Psalm 91, read that every day. Read that every day, all 16 verses, and let that be the good news. Tune out CNN, Fox, and all the rest of those things that are going on, and all the conversations that you have in social media or face-to-face. Say, listen, this is what my Bible says. This is what my Lord says. Psalm 91 promises me this. And share that with people that don't know. And maybe they'll get a different perspective. Let's move on. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. As we're closing this thing out today, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nearer. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. This is a foretaste of what we're going to be experiencing as the world when the rapture takes place. But when you see these things happen, stop looking around this way. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I'm going to lift up my head to the skies. I'm going to lift up my eyes to the author and the finisher of my faith, my soon coming Redeemer. The trumpet is being pursed at the lip of the angel. The trumpet is getting ready to be sounded. Jesus is coming soon. I believe he's coming soon, regardless of the coronavirus. This is simply a way just to remind us. But I believe with all the things that are going on in the world today that our time is short, Tiffany. Jesus is coming soon. 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 Are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? Finally, Revelation 22, verse 12 says this, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Folks, God has got this. God has got this. And I want you to just bow your heads with me this morning. And I want to lead us in prayer. Now, typically, I would say, let's join hands, but I'm not going to do that because this is the part of that we're talking about wisdom, right? Right? Yeah. But we can agree together without joining hands, right? We can agree together without standing face to face. We're connecting our hearts together in faith, believing. I want you to bow your heads this morning. And we're going to pray a prayer of faith and hope and wisdom. Would you agree with me this morning as we pray? Father God, as this has been called by our president as a national day of prayer, and Christians all across this country, all throughout this day, in their own way, are praying. And as we join together as a congregation and as those watching on Facebook Live right now, we all join together in unity, in one accord, with one heart. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for our country. Yea, we pray for this world. As this pandemic that has struck fear into the market economies, into the different gatherings of sporting events, it's causing people to fear and panic at the grocery stores. It's shutting down schools. It's something unlike we've seen in many of our lifetimes. But Lord, we know that you're still in charge. And we don't look to the left or to the right, but we keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to the hills, which cometh our help. Jesus, you are our help. You are our help. And we call upon your mercies, Lord Jesus, to this country that has by and large turned its back on you, this world that has by and large turned its back on you. The remnant of the church, the bride of Christ today, rises up and prays and stands in the gap right now for this world. Father, we step into this gap as the bride of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, and we declare our faith in you. And we ask, Lord God, we make our request known to you, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would have mercy on this world. And that, God, you would calm us down, and that you'd get our eyes back on you. Lord, where we're not hearing in the news, turn to God. We're not hearing anywhere in the news that God's got this solution. God is the answer, that we need to repent. We're not hearing anything about that. But today, we declare, Lord, as we stand, as your word says in Chronicles, that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. We do that today. We stand here today repenting of our sins, walking in the fear and the anxiety that we've allowed to creep in as a result of all the news reports out there. And instead, we repent of that and ask, Lord God, that you give us faith instead of fear. That you give us hope instead of anxiety, and that we repent of, Lord God, acting out in any way that is contrary to those things. And as we repent, Lord God, as we humble ourselves and pray, we ask, Lord God, that you would also heal our land. Heal our land of this coronavirus, which is just really the fruit of the root. Lord, heal our land, I pray, of fear, which is the root because it's a lack of faith. It's because we have nowhere to turn. But Father, I pray that this nation, that people will turn to you and not walk in fear, but turn to you and say, God, would you help me? God, I need your help. I need you to give me peace. I need your strength. I need to find that hope that is only in you. Lord, let this be an opportunity for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to share the hope that we have in you, Christ Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that you would shut this coronavirus down, but not before your full purposes are realized as a result of it. Because you have a plan for this disease, and that through this souls would be saved. Because, yes, everything is connected to a soul, even a pandemic of coronavirus, that you can use it to bring glory to your name. You can use it to expand your kingdom. You can use it to rescue people from their sins. You can use it to redeem people and to restore people back to right relationship with you. That so through this, Lord God, souls would be saved. We claim souls for your kingdom as a result of this. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, use us to allow that to happen, that we would be the mouthpiece, your hands and feet extended, that we can share the hope that we have in you. Let your plans and purposes be accomplished through this awful thing that's going on, that through it you would receive glory, that through it your will would be accomplished, that through it good things would happen for your kingdom. We thank you for this. Help us to use wisdom, Lord God. Lord, that we wouldn't be foolish, that we wouldn't go around doing stupid things and exposing ourselves unnecessarily. God, by your Spirit, give us wisdom to walk this out. And not just wisdom to not expose ourselves to the disease, but also wisdom as to what to say and when to say it and how to share you with others in the right time and the right way. Holy Spirit, give us that discernment. Give us wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would help this nation to not be in despair, to not panic, to not freak out, to not add to the chaos that's going on out there, that we would stop and that we would turn our eyes to you, Lord God. This nation that was founded upon the principles of your word as a Christian nation, may through this, Lord God, we turn our hearts back to you. And may there be through this, Lord God, a revival. Revival, Lord God. That people would turn to you, Lord God, and realize that they can't count on their retirement funds with the stock market that's just been depleted so much this week. People have lost so much money in their retirement. We realize that our hope can't be found in money. Lord, we realize that our hope can't be found in products at the store. Our hope can't be found in the government or the medical field to create some sort of cure for this, or the government to throw more money to the situation and do what they can do. They don't know. Nobody knows. You know. We place our faith and trust in you. We will not walk in despair, but we place our hope in you, Lord God. May this nation place their hope in you. We pray against despair. We pray against anxiety. We pray, Jesus, that by your Spirit, you would help people to see wherever they are. They have a seed of who you are inside of them. Maybe they went to Sunday school when they were a child. Maybe they know somebody who's spoken to them about you in the years past. They've got some remnant of who you are. God, raise that up to the forefront of their lives and be real to them right now. Let the hope of who you are come to the forefront of their vision, and may they see you. And may they find hope in you, Lord God, where they haven't up to this point. May this nation turn to you. Give the government, yes, wisdom. Give our president wisdom. Help, Lord God, those that are trying to discover a cure for this to see that there is a remedy. And God, let them find some sort of antidote for this, yes. But ultimately, Lord God, let your will be done. And I pray that through this, we're responsible as a church to just make sure that your will is accomplished, and that you would use us, Lord God, that souls would be saved. This is a great opportunity for us, and that's how I want to end this prayer, Lord God, is that you would show us the opportunities that are right before us, this great opportunity that is right before us to share the good news that we have of Jesus Christ living inside of us, what you've done in us. Lord, may you do through us to others around us. And may souls be saved. We claim souls for your kingdom, that the church would expand, not shrink back, not cower down in fear. Now is our greatest opportunity to rise up in faith, to declare hope, and to be wise in all that we do. And we love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. If anything that the Holy Spirit has shared through me this morning has resonated in your heart and has put some sort of concern inside of you, of wait a minute, hey, if this is just a foretaste of what's going on, I don't like what's going on now, I'm really not going to like what's going on later. And I realize that I am walking in fear, that I am walking in anxiety, and I don't need to do that. I'm not serving Jesus. I'm not allowing him to be the Lord of my life. I need to repent of my sins. I need him to come into my heart. I need him to be Lord of my life. I need to be saved today. If that's you, I'm going to give you opportunity to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to pray a prayer and invite Jesus in my life. Put your hand up and put it right back down, and we'll pray together a prayer in just a few moments. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to experience what's going on later on. I want to be making sure that I'm saved, and I want to serve him with all my heart. I want to place my faith in him. Anybody else? Quickly lift up your hand and put it right back down. We'll pray together. Let's all of us pray this prayer, whether you raised your hand or not. Say, Jesus, I place my faith in you today. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart. And be the Lord of my life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm now saved. I'm restored back to right relationship with God my Father through Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would seal this decision by filling each life with the power and the glory and the reality of who you are. Make real inside of us the decision that we just made. And all those of you who are watching on Facebook Live, if you'll post something underneath in a comment section and say, I just received the Lord, we'll get right back to you, and we want to make sure to minister to you as well. And tell someone about it, whether here or watching online. Tell someone about it, the decision that you made. I want to pray over you right now before we dismiss here today, and just encourage you right now. Would you pray as we dismiss? Father God, I pray that you'd help us to walk in faith and not fear. Father, I pray that you give us that gift of faith, not that we would muster it up in our own strength, because we can't do it. It's a gift from you. Your word says faith is a gift from you. So we ask that you'd pour faith into our life, and that every time we're tempted to walk in fear, that we would stop and say, no. I'm not going to react in the flesh in fear. I'm going to walk in the Spirit in faith, and I'm going to let the Lord Jesus Christ be my Lord in this and every area of my life. Lord, I pray that anybody that's filled with anxiety right now because of all that's going on and all the reports of what's going on in the world today, Father, I pray that you would wipe out that anxiety, that we would put it on the cross of Calvary, and that instead that we would embrace the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We know, Jesus, you're coming back. That's our blessed hope. We also have a hope that every day, today, and every day, as we go throughout our days and weeks and months, that you're with us, and the promises that we just read in your word are going to be something that's going to roll inside of us every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Your steadfast love never changes. You love us with an everlasting love. You've got a great plan for our lives, and on and on and on it goes. Oh God, we thank you for the good news this morning that we're going to walk out. Also, I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray wisdom from on high, to not put ourselves in a bad place or to put you to a foolish test. Give us wisdom. And Father, help us to put all this in perspective, that through this, you want to use us to share the gospel with someone around us. I pray that you'd help us to have fertile spiritual wombs this week, and through our virtual and face-to-face interactions, that we would be quick to share the good news and the hope that we have in you, Jesus Christ. And that through this, not only in our lives, but in this nation and world, that your will would be accomplished. And we claim souls again for your kingdom. Go with us now, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.